What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 106, and it's Monday because, usually we record on Sunday, but Bob couldn't make it for whatever reason or another. this episode, as always, is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy your stuff that way. Then we get a little bit of kickback from that, and it helps podcasts keep going. What's up, Bob?
It's Monday, man.
Yeah.
It's different, but we're still gonna get it going and talk about everything.
Yeah.
All the tech news of last week, because there was some pretty cool stuff and stuff that we had been talking about should come out, did come out, which we will talk about. And we had three awesome reviews, so we're really picking up, or at least I'm trying to pick back up at least three reviews a week. We were cutting down to maybe one or two, and trying to get a lot more content out there for you guys. So.
Yeah,
three really awesome reviews this week, and most of it is semi gaming related. The other one thing is called gaming, but you could use it for other purposes as well. So, we'll start out with the HyperX Alloy Elite Mechanical Gaming Keyboard. Now, this is a keyboard that we saw at CES, and I really liked it when I was shown it. This one is slightly different. What HyperX or Kingston has done is they come out with a keyboard that sort of has alloy metal backplate, which is kind of really popular. We've seen so many of these new keyboards come out with this. So that gives you like a really solid feel when you're gaming. Like you don't have any flex in the keyboard or anything like that. They match that up with Cherry MX Red mechanical key switches, which... that's kind of the standard when it comes to gaming.
Yeah.
And just red backlighting, which was the big difference from the one we saw at CES. The one we saw at CES had RGB backlighting. This is just red, so I'm not sure why they went with that.
Is this the only version of it?
For right now, yes.
Okay. So there just straight up is no RGB version.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So besides the RGB backlighting, there's this LED bar that goes across the top. It looks pretty cool as well. Dedicated... multimedia buttons and volume and all that kind of stuff. It's a good keyboard. I forget how much it is. I think it's like 100, maybe 100. It's just like the one we took a look at last week, I believe.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like that solid gaming keyboard. It's $109.99. I think it's a solid gaming keyboard, and it's a good entry for HyperX into the keyboard market. It's a really well-done keyboard, really quality. It has a removable wrist rest. I'm a huge wrist rest guy, so having that with the keyboard I really like. It's a full keyboard, so your full complement of keys and your full number pad as well. It's just a good keyboard.
The interesting thing about it is that the palm rest actually makes it look like a shorter board for some reason.
It kind of does.
Maybe it's just because there's no keys off to the left side, and there's usually something.
Yeah.
But it looks like a shortened deck, but it's really not, is it?
No, it's a full size keyboard. Yeah. But it's a good value. $109.99.
Yeah.
Mechanical key switches, red backlighting, plus that cool little LED bar, dedicated multimedia buttons, and they have a volume slider. You know how you like that one on that ASIA board?
Yeah, I see this.
This is sort of like that, but not as... it doesn't protrude out. It's kind of into the board.
Yeah, it's not as big, but that to me, that's the roller is the key.
Yeah.
You can really quickly change the volume.
So it's a volume roller knob. It's not like a button you press or anything like that. So that's really cool.
It's a win in my book.
But yeah, it's just a really well-made keyboard. But the downside, one, no RGB, and two, there's no software.
Yeah, the software thing is kind of a big letdown, but then again, you don't have anything but the red color, so, I mean, you're not missing out on a whole lot.
But
you don't even have macro buttons, do you?
Yeah, but I think that there's so many keyboards that if you do have a number pad, that they do allow you to reprogram the entire keyboard, that's what bothers me about it. It's a good first entry, I think, but I think that maybe that's why they don't have the RGB version out, is because they're waiting for software, which takes time. We've talked about this so many times with gaming products.
Yeah.
Is software to have good software, and I think HyperX wants to come out with good software.
Yeah, I think better to come out with no software on your first version than bad software.
Yeah, right? So maybe we'll see a RGB version, maybe 149.
Yeah, I would actually think more like 139, like $30. I actually kind of feel too that this would be better priced at $99.
Yeah, I think it might go down.
I just think that the way it is, it's in the way what is out on the market right now, it's just a touch too high. You know, it's pretty much it's a $100 keyboard to me.
Yeah, that Corsair K68, which is not, I mean, it's basically, I mean, you Cherry MX Reds, which is red backlighting, yeah. Same thing.
Yep.
It comes with a wrist rest and has the dedicated vault. It's like almost the same, but a little bit different, right? Because different design. That same features. That is $99. Yeah. So this is $10 more.
Yeah, because I think, I want to say about $130 is your bottom of, like, bottom line entry for RGB.
Yeah.
And RGB seems like it's about a $30 premium. So I want to say, especially for a first keyboard, it's probably about $10 too expensive.
I could see that, yeah. But you do, it is Cherry MX Red, but you also get brown or blue options, which is nice. The Corsair keyboard didn't have that option, unfortunately. Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it's like a solid board. It's like a solid first entry, because we've seen first entries from companies who want to break into gaming, and they've just been bad.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't buy that plastic everything board.
Yeah.
Put your name on it. That's a
bad idea. We've seen that before. So this is a solid first entry, and I like it. It's very comfortable to use. Again, it's solid made. It's quality. So if you know you're a fan of HyperX and you know you want that, also I don't even remember now that I think about it, I'm almost 90% positive it has a USB pass through as well.
I did notice clicking through the pictures that there was a USB on the back of it.
Yeah, so there's USB pass through, which is nice. You know, it's just so much easier to either plug a flash drive in there or plug your mouse or maybe gaming headset into that when you're going to a LAN or whatever, instead of, you know, kind of going behind your PC. So
That it's located in the center of the top of the board. That's a little more convenient as far as mouse placement is concerned. Yes. So my current board in front of me, both the headphone and the pass through is right on the mouse side, and I'm like, that's totally worthless.
Yeah,
you straight up cannot use it. So
exactly. So yeah, definitely check out that review. I did like the board. Great first entry for HyperX into the keyboard market. So check that out. And then we'll move on to a set of gaming headset. But I these are in-ear headphones, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
Because most of the time when you think of gaming headset, you think of the big over-the-ear headset. But, you know, a lot of times people do prefer in-ear headphones. I've been watching esports, and some of them are using in-ear headphones, like earbuds.
Yeah.
So it's all about what you like and what you feel. And if you are an in-ear headphone person and you're a gamer, this might be for you. You know, some people just can't use over the head headsets. It's just not their thing. So,
yeah.
These are the Epic Gear Melodious, in-ear gaming headset or in-ear gaming headphones, and they're actually really cool. They're designed really well. They are pretty comfortable. We'll get into why I didn't like them in a second, but they're really comfortable and they sound really good. They actually, the way that the earbuds are designed is they kind of close your ear off. So, you know, with gaming, you want that sound that immerses you in whatever you're playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
These do the best job that you can do at that with an earbud, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
There is a detachable microphone that goes into one of the earbuds. So it's just like having your normal headset like you would have on an over-the-ear one, you know? It's removable, which is nice. So if you want to use these at the gym or something, you don't have this microphone coming out looking like a weirdo.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And it does sound really well. I did a couple of Skype calls with some friends, and they said it sounded just like any other headset that I've had.
How about weight? Because I feel like I already have an issue with, like, keeping earbuds in. What would that microphone do as far as, like, pulling it out of your ear?
It doesn't at all. There's really no...
You don't feel like a drag or anything.
Yeah, you don't feel like it's pulling down or anything like that. And again, the way these are designed to kind of close your ear off, they sit in your ear really well. I was at the gym and I was on the treadmill running with these in, and they didn't fall out or anything like that.
Nice.
You know, so for gaming, you have that that good sound and that kind of closing off of your ears, and you have the microphone. But if you just want to use this as normal headset too, I mean, they sound really good. And there's another inline microphone on the, there's like a little controller, like
an inline controller.
Yeah. And there's another microphone. So if you want to use this as your normal headset too, so, you know, if you want to use this, you know, for your cell phone, even if you're a if you're a mobile gamer, this is great because you can use it as your normal, you know, can always have it with you to have. But then when you want to play a game where you're using like in-game communication, you just plug in the headset or plug in the microphone and you're kind of good to go.
Yeah, I assume that like the plug-in microphone is more accurate.
Yes, much more.
Yeah.
But it's nice because as soon as you plug that in, it disables the other one.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool. But the one thing that it just wasn't, at least for me, I mean, and this is all subjective too because nobody's ears are the same, is that after about an hour, my ears got irritated. And that happens. That happens with normal headsets too.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different pressure point, really.
Yeah. And I tried and I tried. It just didn't work, you know, if the biggest thing is that these are for gaming, and gaming is typically hours, you know, multiple hour sessions, usually.
Yeah.
So for that, it just wasn't comfortable enough for me to have these in my ears. Like, when I was done, I wanted to take them out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that
a good over-ear headset is designed to avoid the pressure on the top of your head and around your ears, right? Whereas there's not much that you can do with an in-ear to avoid the pressure because it is that contact that's holding it in place.
Yes.
There's just not much that can be done. Even, I have a really nice set of Bose earbuds, and even those, on a plane flight, I'm ready to have them out by the end, you know?
Yeah, so that's the only thing, and I think that that's a hard thing to get around. I think they're a great pair of headphones. They sound really good, and the gaming features are really good, and if they were super comfortable, I could see using them. You know,
and even the price is pretty good.
Yeah, I think that, well, I forget the price.
$45
Yeah, $45. It comes with a splitter as well, so it has a single connection, so if you're using a smartphone or even the newer laptops that have the multi headphone and microphone on one port, but if you're, you know, have a sound card or something like that connected to a normal PC, you have the splitter. It comes with, of course, a detachable microphone. It comes with two more sets of earbuds, so you have three total, three different sizes, and then you have an extra set of the I don't know what you call those, the
they're like the
ear stems that kind of hold them in your ear. You have the extra set of those, and you have a carrying case that carries everything. And again, all of that for $45, not a bad deal at all. So I think if you're an in-ear person, this would be something you might want to check out. And again, my problems with, you know, feeling uncomfortable after about an hour might not happen with you either, you know.
Yeah, everybody's different, right?
Yeah, so they're definitely cool. And it's cool to see this. Epic Gear has come out with some rather interesting products, some of them that we've taken a look at. So it's cool to see that. You know, I think Razer might make a hit. I think Razer makes an in-the-ear gaming headphone as
well. They seem to
make
just about everything.
Yeah, I believe they do, but there's not that many. It's not as filled as the over-ear market, I would say.
They do, but this doesn't look like a gaming set.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that they intend it for that, but it's...
Yeah.
There's no microphone. Hammerhead Pro.
Yeah, so I mean, this is specifically made for gaming. The detachable microphone is really makes it for gaming because you don't want to try to lift up your wire and talk into like the microphone that's on the inline controller, you know.
No, you really don't.
Yeah, so, but yeah, definitely a good headset overall. I just had that little issue, so if you have the chance to check these out, go ahead and you know, see if they'll work for you. And if you do order them on Amazon and you're a Prime member, you have 30-day return, no questions asked. So if it doesn't work out for you, you can always return them too. So
nice.
Yes. So that brings us to our last product of the week, and it is the new ADATA XPG SX950. We took a look at the 240 gig version of that solid state drive, and ADATA says this is a gaming drive. This is what you want to use for gaming. You know, that's another way to sell a SSD for sure. But this is their high performance enthusiast base drive. It's like their highest performance 2.5 inch SSD.
Sure. Yep.
You know, and this one has the same controller, which is the Silicon Motion SM2258, which was in the HP drive that we took a look at, but this uses MLC NAND instead of TLC NAND, so MLC NAND is better quality and lasts mm-hmm. longer.
And it's a lot more expensive.
It's a lot more expensive as well. And this drive is rated for 560 megabytes a second read and 520 megabytes a second write. So very fast speeds there. And it lived up to all that pretty much. I mean, it was right up to specifications in almost all of our tests. And it has a really high endurance rating as well. Let me find out what the endurance rating is. But it's very, very high. And it has a 6-year warranty. So most entry level drives, SSDs, will have a 3-year warranty. The higher end drives will have a 5-year warranty, but 6-year warranty that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So 80 terabytes written. Or 800, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
800 terabytes written, which is like 4 times the normal of a yeah. drive. So again, this is like their super high end drive. And it's good. It performs right up specifications. And if you're looking for a 2.5-inch drive, whether it's for gaming, whether it's for whatever, this is a great drive. And again, you have peace of mind because a 6-year warranty is a 6-year warranty.
Yeah, if it breaks for any reason, send it back.
Yeah, send it back. That's all I can say. The only thing is, and this is really nitpicking, is that this is a gaming drive, and it's not flashy. You know?
You are right. It's very, I don't know.
I think
2005 almost.
Yeah, I think you need to redesign that XPG logo because the XPG is their high performance gaming stuff, and I think you need to redesign that.
It's very corporate looking.
Yeah. So, it's a great drive, and the 240 gig is $134.99. So again, it does have a little bit of a price on it. It's not horrible. It's not horribly overpriced, and I wouldn't say it's even overpriced. I think that again, you're paying for that extra endurance, obviously great speeds, and that 6-year warranty. So you're paying a little bit extra for that. But again, if you want peace of mind, and you're not somebody that updates your computer every iteration of a new architecture, and you get new stuff. If you had a PC for 4 or 5 years, this might be something you want to think about because. You know, in that amount of time, drives can die, and most of them only have 3-year warranties. So, definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
For sure. So, definitely check out that review. And that rounds up our reviews this week. And that brings us to, of course, my favorite part of the website, which is Case Mod Friday. And this week, we have a really interesting build. I think it's interesting because I've never seen this case has been out for 4 years, maybe 5.
Four at the most.
Okay. Well, this case has been out there for that's a while for a case to be out in a mod, just be completed for it. But it's a real when it came out, it was really revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And they at least showed us the Quad Stellar at CES. Yeah. But this is the Tri-Stellar from Deep Cool.
Yeah.
And this build is from Time Play, and he did something really interesting. So he reoriented. Yeah, let's just use that word. Reoriented the case vertically. So the Tri-Stellar is from Star Wars? What's the thing from Star Wars?
Oh, the Imperial Shuttle?
Yeah. Probably Star Wars
or
fans.
Or Lander, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like that. So it's sort of like a triangle, and then the top part goes up.
Yeah.
And those in this case are 3 separate compartments for different pieces of hardware. And usually it's laid horizontally.
Yeah, so it looks just like a shuttle would in flight.
Yes.
Yeah.
This, however, he decided to turn it vertically, so you have these 3 vertical pillars almost full of hardware, and it's interesting because I've never seen somebody do this, and there's been a lot of builds with this case, and I've never seen it.
Yeah, and I don't know how we never thought of this. How did it take this long for somebody to mod it this way, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, how did I never think of this? How did no one else in the mod community not think of this? Maybe somebody did, and we just haven't seen it, but this looks so much cooler than the original case to me.
Yes.
Like stood up vertically like this.
Totally.
It's and then it, so of course each chamber is not like the size of a full PC. Each chamber contains, you know, part of the component. So you got a graphics card section, like power supply section, motherboards in there, obviously.
Yep.
And I think that's it, right? That's the three.
One's graphics card, one's power supply and storage, and then one is the motherboard.
Okay. And then that's got to be a micro or a mini?
Mini.
I'm not sure what that
is. Or no, micro, sorry. Yeah, it's a micro. Yeah, it's a micro.
Okay, yep. And then he's got, I think the coolest part, maybe there's a lot of cool parts, but it looks like he's got three pumps, one in the top of each, maybe even four. Is that a
there's
fourth in the middle, or is that
yeah,
just a reservoir?
Fourth.
Okay.
I think they're, at least most of those are reservoirs. I don't know.
Oh, they're pump res combos, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the pumps are hanging down into them. So in the top is the new, hexagon?
Yeah, it's a hexagon, yeah.
Yeah, it's the new hexagon res from BP.
Yeah, for Bits Power.
Yep. And it just looks so cool. They're all linked up together with a single piece of hard tubing in the top. And then they flow to the back. And then he's got a couple of 280 millimeter. They got to be 280s.
Yeah, those are.
Bits Power radiators in the back. And that's all of the cooling for it, which is a single 480 together. So that's actually a pretty good amount of radiator for this. It's just really cool. All blue LEDs, which I kind of feel like need to make. Like, we've done all this RGB. We've done. White was the thing for the longest time. Just do white. And I still love white. But I kind of feel like we can cycle back through doing colored builds again. Like, it's been enough time.
Oh, yeah.
And then all hard tubing, of course, as well.
Yeah, all hard tubing throughout. Everything is cooled. Yeah, the graphics card as well as the CPU are cooled. And it's all, like I said, it's all brought up into those reservoirs, which sit on the top, which is really, really cool.
It's a slick build.
Yeah, it's just really nice. You guys, again, we can talk about it so much, but... Yeah. And I believe... go ahead.
Well, before we move on, but he also, obviously, he modded each of the wings of the case with acrylic wraparound, so they're totally clear, whereas the regular case is not...
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he used blue fittings. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I didn't realize they were blue. I just thought it was the lighting.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and then it looked really close. Yeah, blue fittings.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's a nice little build, and it's really... I would love to have this thing sitting on my desk, for sure.
I mean, like many of them, but this one is like... It's like one of the boutique sites that does nearly custom one-offs.
Yeah.
You know, limited runs. This looks like it could be one of those.
Oh yeah, this is really, really cool.
So I'm not a huge, in all honesty, I'm not a huge fan of most of the deep cool cases, but I think he took this one and transformed it.
Yeah, this was gorgeous, just awesome. That's all you can really say about this. It's just awesome. So definitely check this out. This is one of the... I would say this is one of the best builds of the year so far.
I would say so. This was done by TimePlay.
Yes.
Have we featured a build from him before?
I believe we have. Maybe not this year, but I believe we featured at least one of his builds in the past.
Okay.
I'd have to go look through his stuff to see.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we have done at least one of his builds. If you go to his Facebook page and scroll down, there's a video of this build. I guess it was at DreamHack Summer 2017.
Oh, cool.
And it just looks awesome all lit up in on video.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that just definitely check it out. Just such a great build.
Such an obvious idea.
Yeah, I don't care what they, but
sometimes it just takes the eye, right? The special eye.
Exactly. Yeah, so he did that Avoid build. We featured that. I'm just looking at his page.
Okay.
So he did for the case Cooler Master Case Mod World Series. We featured that build.
Okay.
I believe, I'm almost positive we featured that build. So yeah, definitely check that out. And we have all of TimePlay stuff linked as well, so you can go ahead and check him out and see what he's all about as well in there. So definitely check that out. And that brings us to the news. Ooh. And this story, I don't know how I would say this is not expected.
I'm 100% not surprised.
So
not in the slightest.
Liquid cold versions of AMD's Radeon Pro Vega Frontier Edition are available. You can get them. It's over $1,000. I forget.
Dang.
But PC Perspective had one, and they were going through all their tests and testing the card out. And While it ran fine under stock conditions, power-wise, we're going to talk about power. So, it ran fine under stock, under stock. So, the card has a TDP of 375 watts.
Okay.
That is the DOI pins, which are 100... Wait, how many are... What is that? How much is each A pin? How many watts is each A pin?
I actually don't know.
Well, I know that the PCI Express, the PCI Express power is 75 watts, so they're 150
each. 150
each? Yeah.
Okay.
So, the card is a TDP, or the power limit of the card is 375 watts. That's all it can draw. You have the two A pins plus the PCI Express power, which is 75 watts, so 375 is the total limit. During normal operation, the car draws around 350 watts of power.
Right up at the limit.
Yeah, that's very close to the limit. So these guys did a 7% overclock and raised the power limit by 25%. And that drew a peak power draw of 440 watts. So you're overdrawing power from those connections, which is not good.
Which shouldn't be possible.
It's possible, but it's not... There
should be limiters that prevent it from happening.
According to PC perspective, this is what happened.
I believe that it happened. They just
They had this issue before. That's the thing that doesn't make this a surprising story.
That issue was overdrawing the PCI Express spec.
Yes. But that was overdrawing power of the spec. So again, this story is interesting in the fact that I run my card at stock speeds, I won't have this problem. I'm not going to overclock it, right? But the thing that makes this interesting is if you as a user want to overclock your card, or if there's going to be overclocked versions of the card that come out, the Frontier Edition, the Radeon Edition.
Mm-hmm.
How much power draw is it going to have, and is it even going to be worth getting the card because it's going to take so much power to run? Especially, the overclocked versions, like the Hall of Fame editions, the Strix versions, these are all overclocked out of the box.
And how long till something starts on fire?
Yeah, that, and I mean, again, running these cards, that's a lot of power, and it's... we've seen cards with three PCI Express 8-pin PCI Express power connectors.
Yeah,
and it's just NVIDIA has found a way to get it to make their cards efficient, and it just seems like, at least according to this, that this card is not all that efficient.
Well, I mean, it's a huge die, right?
Yeah, not the biggest, but it's big.
Yeah, I mean, so. Yeah, it's going to draw. I kind of put the two together. It's not necessarily, there's not necessarily a correlation there, but, I mean, AMD just sucks at this.
Yes, and this is just another thing that's while this is not a huge deal, because, again, if you run it at stock, you're fine, but, overdrawing power is not a safe thing when it comes to PC components.
No. The spec exists for a reason.
Yeah, and it's just you're pushing more power than what should go through,
The next step is things desolder and...
Yeah, and you blow out your PCI Express slot.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of...
I wonder where it was... Okay, so I'm rereading. Does the PC perspective... Do they know where the extra power was drawn through?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because
it's a bigger problem if it's overdrawing through the PCI Express slot, which I first reading through took it more to mean that it was overdrawing the 8 pins.
Yeah.
But if it's overdrawing the Express slot, that's the same problem they had before, where they lost their PCI Express spec branding. They weren't allowed to relabel that until they fixed BIOS for it.
Yeah, I just think the biggest thing is that, to bring a card to market, that...
How do you get it this far and then it can do this?
Well, not even that. I mean, to draw 440 watts of power with a 7% overclock. I mean, most cards that come out...
Oh, 7% is nothing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most cards that the overclock versions that come out have higher than 7% overclock.
First of all, you should be able to do a 7% overclock on the stock power.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, on a GPU. Second, it shouldn't take that. It shouldn't take 25% to achieve 7%.
Yeah.
So
that's what I mean. It's just like, this is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see. One, we don't even know if there's going to be custom versions of the card. We would hope, because this is not even the gaming version of the card. This is the professional version of the card, you know?
Yeah.
You know, in the gaming version of the card, is there going to be special, you know, is there going to be the, all those cards that we love, you know? And if so, how much...
Yeah, what kind of headroom is left on these things?
Yeah, I mean,
are we gonna have like 4/8 pins?
I don't think that, no. There actually has been 4/8 pins, I believe so, on a couple of cards. I know there has been three. There definitely has been three
for sure. Yeah.
I don't know if there's been four.
But I honestly wouldn't expect to see 3/8 pins on, like, I don't know, like a standard, you know, overclocked edition. I don't want to see a 3/8 pin until you're talking about like. Almost like an LN2 version, you know?
Yeah. Or not even LN2, but like a water cool, you know, like the water cooled special edition. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's a lot of power. Yeah. Not like that, but think about your electric bill on this thing.
That's what I mean. I mean, running these things 24/7. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll have to see, but that's just a scary thought. I think the biggest thing for me, the biggest takeaway from it is. What are these special edition cards from all the, you know, all the brands that we love? What are they going to do? You know, if you can't, if you have to raise the power that much to condition that small of a overclock,
you know, it just seems like it's not a good. To me, it's telling that it's not a good part for overclocking.
Yeah.
Or really, I mean, 7%. That's not a good part. Oh, that's hardly an overclock.
Yeah.
That should be. You just for the safety of your part, you should have, I would say, at least 10-15% headroom. Yeah. You know, of margin.
So, I agree.
Yeah, maybe this is part of the reason why it's taken probably 6 months too long to launch this part.
Yeah, again, we haven't seen it. So
yeah, we still haven't.
I don't understand why it's like we're almost at August, right? And we're still talking about. We're still talking about Radeon RX Vega not being out.
Yeah,
that just pisses me off. I mean, come on, it's been forever.
Yeah, you missed all the good shows. You missed everything.
Yep. So, talking about AMD on a better note, it looks like the Ryzen Threadripper processors, which will be coming out. They will come with AIO liquid coolers. So all-in-one liquid coolers will come with the processors. And I do not believe there will be a price increase on them. They'll just come with them.
Probably because they run too hot and they have to have them.
Yeah, but what I mean is this
Sorry,
is
I'm
another...
a little negative towards the AMD camp right now.
But this is another value added to the processor if you're buying it, right?
Sure, so long as it's not necessary for the part to run.
Yeah, but I mean, the Core X processors don't come with anything. You have to buy your own cooling.
Yeah.
You know, which
okay,
if...
Okay, yeah, I get your point. It's a good
yeah, which
away.
Is another $80, right?
Yeah.
For a 120, 140 cooler. And if you go to two... You know, you're looking at 120, 130 if you're going beyond a single, you know...
Yeah.
You know, so... You know, it's just a value add-on, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But it's not the first time we've seen it. We saw it with their... FX series 8-core processors. We saw that before.
Gotcha.
So it's nice, and if they don't cost more, if it just comes with it, that's nice. So
yeah, and if it's not like needed, you know what I mean? Like
yeah, the TDPs
155, 125.
Yeah. Though that's what the rumors had said, 125 and 155, which isn't horrible.
No.
So these coolers should be able to handle. I just think it's just the easier route instead of trying to get this big air cooler that it's hard to install and all that kind of stuff. Just get everybody on AIOs and you're kind of good to go, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So I like it. So, talking about AMD again, and this is not their fault. It looks like this is a really interesting story that came out. There's Ryzen RMA fraud going on at Amazon. So it looks like somebody has been buying up Ryzen 7 and Ryzen 5 series processors. And then once they get them, they take that Ryzen processor and they take the processor and keep it. And then they RMA, they set up an RMA and then they send back a processor, which happens to be an old Intel processor. And they've somehow got the Ryzen branding on it that's like the Ryzen, almost identical to what the Ryzen branding is actually on the processor. And it passes through RMA. And then it goes into an open box item, which they sell again. And then users who have bought an open boxed Ryzen processor get this processor
nothing, yeah.
This is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah. it's difficult to explain. It's difficult to point fingers. I think somebody just went over on Amazon.
Yeah, and like, you can't really blame the people who are checking the RMAs because they're probably just shown a picture of we have the picture of the part. I mean, it just looks like an Intel processor with Ryzen branding on it, and that's basically what it is. And if you're an Amazon employee who's doing RMAs for bunch of different products, it looks like a processor. Okay, it's going through.
Yeah, know? Hundreds of products a day.
Yeah,
and then you're not the guy that's noticing that the pins are not attached.
Yeah, you don't know anything about that.
Where's the pins?
Yeah,
you just wouldn't notice. But luckily, you're not going to ruin your motherboard because the Intel part isn't going to smash all your pins. So.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And the thing is, too, is once you get this and try to put it on that AM4 socket, it won't fit. So you'll be able to figure this out. But this is one of the craziest things I've heard in a long time. And I wonder how many processors this happened to. And how big of a kind of...
Imagine quite a few and all right at once.
Yeah, and probably had... This person probably created a bunch of random Amazon accounts. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
People think everything.
Yeah. So hopefully nobody listening was affected by that. Maybe not buy processors from Amazon for maybe a little bit. I mean, they have... address the situation, and they've given gift cards to people who've had this issue. On top of the refund that they would be getting. So
still a bummer to be doing your build. I mean, we all know that build night feeling, you know.
You're exactly
going to put everything, all this new stuff together, and then it just doesn't work. So that's a huge bummer.
Yeah, it is.
Give it some time, they'll be okay.
Yeah. That's the worst feeling is you get it, you build everything and you come in to do that last little part and you open your processor box and it's not a Ryzen processor and you're like, I just spent 2 hours building everything else and running all my cables and now I'm stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're like me, like, we don't have a Fry's, we don't have computer stores around here like where I live. We have Best Buy. Yeah. I don't even know if Best Buy sells that kind of stuff.
I don't think so.
So it's not like I can go to the store at that night and get it. I still have to either, you know, do the RMA through Amazon or whatever.
You still got 2 days of shipping to wait for.
Yeah, I got 2 days of shipping to wait or whatever, you know. So that would just be super frustrating.
Completely.
So moving over from AMD to Intel, and this is if everybody thinks we always give shit to AMD, here's one on Intel. the Intel Core i7 7800X, that's their 6-core, 12-thread processor. It looks like it was tested directly against a Core i7 7700K, and in game testing, the 7700K beats it. In virtually all gaming tests.
Yeah.
Which is no surprise at all. And
Yeah.
Yeah. It It even beats the i7-7800X when it's overclocked.
Yeah.
You know,
but
so
they're both overclocked, though. I mean, still, with their overclocking, they still gave the 7700K a speed advantage.
Yeah.
Which, you know, take it or leave it. A more accurate test to me would be them both at the same clock speed. So you can see clock for clock, but I still think you're going to wind up with a faster four-core part.
Yeah, and I think that this just really shows that, you know, you don't need to be on that X299 platform. You really
don't. Yeah,
that's
my point. Yeah.
You can do your Z270 build and you'll be fine. I don't see it. We talked about this when I reviewed the, I don't even remember the name of the process. the Kaby Lake X part. Yeah, the 7740X. Like, there's no reason to get that part. Like, literally none. Unless you're buying that part to upgrade later to a real true high-end desktop part.
And then, really, I mean, according to this, only if you're doing processor-intensive tasks.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it is. And, you know, like I said, I think a lot of people have written off Z270 right now. You know, like X299 is the way to go. But if they even showed the power consumption. I mean,
it's enormously higher on the
It's much higher. X.
You know, what's funny is that I originally thought this article was going to be talking about that Kaby Lake part that you had and the 4-core. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense to me that it doesn't work. But yeah, no, this is the 6-core.
Yes.
It's just there's nothing written for those extra cores, so it's clock speed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would say any mainstream person who's going to be doing gaming, I'd still recommend a Z270 system. I mean, it's cheaper.
A quad core with hyper-threading part is still your best bang for your buck right now for gaming.
Exactly.
It probably will be for a while.
I think it will be for a while, too.
Yeah. You need. It'll take some time for software to catch up to hardware.
Yeah. So we'll move from that to motherboards, and it looks like somebody got their hands on, this is the first X399 motherboard that we've seen in the wild, and it's the Asus X399 ROG Zenith Extreme. This was showed off at Computex, but this is somebody who has the board, and, they took some photos of it, and it just looks awesome. These X399 boards are going to have the feature set that you would see on the X299 boards from Intel, and this board is massive.
Yeah.
This will be the flagship X399 from Asus, and Asus always does a great job with...
Pretty much everything.
But, you know, when it comes to especially motherboards, they've always done a really, really great job. That socket is just massive, though. That's all I have to say.
It's a good chunk of real estate.
I mean, that takes up so much space, you know?
They got it all on there, though.
There's a lot of stuff on this board. It comes with a lot of extras. I mean, this board is just awesome.
Got those RGBs.
Oh, it has more than... I mean, it has literally everything, this board. We covered it at Computex. I mean, it's just such a great board, especially... If you are doing a lot of really high-end desktop stuff, this is a great board as well. One thing you might not notice, so if you look at the picture of all the... Well, two things in this picture. All of the picture of like everything kind of spread out on the table there.
Mm-hmm.
One is you see the I.O. shield or the I.O. cover? See that little thing? That's an LCD screen. And that shows your postcodes and all that kind of stuff.
What? Yeah. That's sick. It's a good spot for it.
Yeah. Secondly, if you look towards the middle of the picture up at the far top, there's a Threadripper CPU there. You can just see it. It's on top of that expansion card. Or below that expansion
flipped
card.
Flipped over.
Yeah, flipped over. It's right there. So whatever this is, has a Threadripper CPU and the board.
Yeah.
So I'm extremely jealous of this person.
Some insider.
Yes. Who decided to post this. So.
Yeah. Is this this angled piece here, is that a support? This L-shaped piece? It's kind of in the middle of all of the, went on the page with all of the parts, photo with all the parts.
Yes.
Right next to the board. Is that a cover or a support?
I think it's a support of some sort.
Okay. Is a cover for the I.O. parts that you're not going to use if you don't end up using any stuff on the right-hand side?
True. That would be cool.
Next generation stuff.
Yeah. And this has that M.2
software. The DIM.2?
Yeah, DIM.2, I mean. Yeah. So that actually goes in there, and I believe it at least supports at least one M.2, if not two. I'm not sure.
Looks like it's got enough mounting holes for two.
Yeah, I think it's one on each side, maybe.
Possible. Yeah. And then you've got, well, you got a hard connector for SLI.
Yes.
Kind of standard. Is this a sound card or
that's 10 gig Ethernet, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a lot of stuff.
That's,
I mean, this
a legit
is like,
part.
Yeah. So this is a really, really, really nice board.
It is.
Yeah, it's good to see the stuff in the wild. This means that
this makes me want to do an upgrade.
And this is that. That would be the upgrade for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that just means X39 boards are coming, and hopefully we'll see a lot more in the wild soon. And this brings us to what I talked about earlier, is that a part that we had been talking about Derek should create
for a month?
More than that.
Yeah.
So AlphaCool introed two different M.2 SSD coolers, one of which is water-cooled. So what these are is they're PCI Express brackets that you would plug into your normal PCI Express slot, but there's an M.2 slot on them, and one is just a normal heat sink that goes on top of it. The other one is a water cooled part, so you could, it has what is it, the is your typical threadings that you would have, and you just you connect it right into your build. Which I think is super cool. And Derek, you should have got on this.
Yeah, I mean, I still can, because as I pointed out to you earlier in the week when this came out, this is on a riser card, right? My version goes directly on an M.2 solid state drive. So I still have time.
Yeah, but I just don't think that
you can do. You can make channels, and you can run the channels out underneath whatever.
I don't think
Bob doesn't
space.
Think there's room because of the GPU.
Yeah, because if you have a GPU sitting on top of that, there's no room.
There is. There's the room between the top of the M.2 drive and at least the height of the PCI slot, Express slot. Plus, there's usually a little bit more room in there.
I just don't see it fitting.
Where the GPU stands off away from it.
All I know is you better get.
I think you got a solid quarter inch to a half inch under there that you can put a block in. And then you can, the block will be wider, it'll run out from the side of it, and that's
you know
where you'll
you,
put your
actually,
ports.
You know what I just thought would be super cool? Is if you found some way to have a block that connected to your GPU, like connected to your GPU, and then like went down
ran
and connected.
Straight into it,
yeah, that would be cool. But again,
channeling.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
The machining on that would be, and the engineering would be very specific.
Totally. 100%.
That'd be a tricky part.
Yeah.
It
but
fun,
these are cool. You know, even if you don't do water cooling, they have the one that
just the fins.
Yeah, so that is cool, and I think that, again, especially the Samsung drives, they're very, very hot, and the throttle, and there goes your performance, so very cool. And it's just another thing to just kind of customize, you know?
You know what I was reading the other day on EK Waterblocks posted a photo of a motherboard, and they're like, what's missing from this M.2? And it didn't have one of their little heat spreaders. You know, they just make the small heat spreader. And there was at least half the comments, people talking, that those heat spreaders actually raise the temperature.
Really?
The operating temperature by 2 degrees Celsius.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, sometimes you can't just slap a piece of metal on. You should do a little more engineering than that.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe. Go
ahead. If I remember correctly, those are just aluminum sheets, right? But
yes.
We spoke about those, I believe.
Yeah.
And this is a bit more engineering than that. This is
because it's like a true heat sink. It's like an actual heat sink that's designed as a heat sink.
Yeah.
Instead of just putting a piece of metal that disperses the heat across, heat sinks are designed to really take the heat out and disperse it evenly.
And it moves it away
into
the fins, away from the part.
Yeah.
And the block that's not really shown very well, but if it comes out like this one is, it's a very large block, actually. Which would take a lot of heat for the water cooled part.
Yeah, for sure. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. AlphaCool is doing some really cool stuff. We've talked about that. They've really kind of upped their game this year.
Oh, they're trying to push themselves into the center of the market.
Yeah. So that's very, very cool. There was an interesting story this week as well about Corsair. And as people read, and actually as it was written by Reuters, which is a very respectable source,
yeah,
it was that the entire company was for sale.
Which was disconcerting to many.
Yeah, very disconcerting because Corsair is privately owned. Yeah. And it has been since the beginning. And when a big company takes over a startup or whatever, it just kind of loses that feeling. And again, a lot of things, you know, customer service usually goes down and things like that when it's managed by a big corporation. So I think that's why a lot of people were kind of scared about this story. But at least through our research, it turns out that Corsair is not for sale. Part of Corsair is for sale. So Corsair founder and chief executive Andy Paul founded the company in 1994. And he owns a good part of Corsair still. But another part is currently owned by Francisco Partners, which is a private equity firm. And in 2013, they made a $75 million investment in Corsair. So they bought whatever that $75 million was worth. Definitely not.
Which is actually interesting if you look back to that or think back to that time. Corsair started making a number of changes at that time.
Yeah.
So it looks like they put the capital to good use, and they've stayed current. If not, they're the leader in many of their market or their segments.
Yeah, I believe that they are.
Yeah.
So I think that they probably needed a cash
injection.
Injection of cash at that time, and whatever that $75 billion bought, we don't know. But apparently, it looks like Francisco Partners is looking to flip that investment,
mm-hmm.
Which happens a lot, and they're looking to sell it to Eagle Tree Capital for $500 million. So that's a nice little, you know.
Yeah, that's a deal you want to have your name written on.
Yeah. So yeah. So at least, again, according to our research, Corsair as the whole company is not for sale.
No. In fact, without knowing numbers, I'd guess that Andy Paul still has a pretty good controlling portion. He probably wouldn't have taken on an investment that would have taken him out of control of his company.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that all that is for sale is the portion that he was willing to sell.
Yeah.
Originally. So, and what's crazy is, do you feel? And I think I probably do feel that it has that. 75 to 500 million, that's an enormous increase in value. Because that really speaks more to the company's value than anything, right?
Yes.
And I would say that Corsair certainly has gained that much market share.
I would say, if you think about it, if you think about it, you know, they were kind of doing good, and you know, but if you look at parts that are in your current PC or anything, I mean, there's something Corsair there. They're a leader, especially in gaming products. They're a leader in AIOs. They're a leader in power supplies. Cases, they've kind of fallen off slightly, I would say.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
You know, but for, and I mean, they've
but,
always
but really they to come from a memory. It was memory, right?
Yeah, memory only.
And then they added power supplies, and they were extremely reputable even from the start with power supplies.
Yeah.
To kind of come from that, like when I got into this, that was kind of what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to really have, like, they've moved to having parts for pretty much all of your PC.
Yeah, they're like a true PC company. They make pretty much everything besides motherboards, graphics card, and CPU. I mean, they make everything else that you need.
Yep, everything. So I would say that growth is probably pretty fair. That's a pretty good evaluation.
Yeah.
Being the financial expert that I am.
You know. So yeah. So that, you know, again, Corsair is not getting sold. I honestly, when I read the story, I felt $500 million was under valuation for the company. The total, like a total, total buyout.
Total
yeah.
Buyout. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of under.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. So, that brings us to our last story, which is a funny one that comes out of China. And apparently, again, cultures are much different, but apparently in China, going to the mall to shop, and it is the same here too, not as bad, but I would say going to the mall with your wife or significant other is just not fun. You know,
yeah.
So Global Harbor Mall in Shanghai has erected a bunch of glass pods that are called husband storage pods. And they're basically a glass pod that has a PC inside where you can play games and all that kind of other stuff.
You just drop them off.
Yeah, you just drop off your husband and come back and pick them back up.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. and apparently these were set up by the manufacturers of the products that are being used in there, so it's kind of a way to show off their products as well.
Sure.
I think it's cool. It's a cool thing. You know,
I think this is funny though. Mr. Wu says it was great, but there's no ventilation for air conditioning. After 5 minutes, he was drenched in sweat.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep me out of that chair, please.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing with this. Is it was kind of just like a test, but they might roll it out further, okay. But there'll need to be changes made, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's cool. I think that if I was shopping with wife or girlfriend or whatever, and I wasn't having fun, I would go in one of these.
Yeah, drop me off. Come back later.
Yeah. Or you know, that's why like a lot of malls have bars now. Because you go to the bar.
Dude, at least yeah, even if you don't just sit at the bar, you can at least have a few drinks before you have to get into it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our last story of the week. Definitely some cool stories this week. And that brings us to what we have coming up this week, because it is Monday. So it's already up. I put it up today. But the Silverstone Redline RL06 Pro. I'll let you guys read the review. But this is, you know, Silverstone, we know for a lot of high-end cases. This is their more entry-level case, but it's a great value case. It comes with four included fans, three of which are red LED fans. And it's a good case.
Nice. Did you get the full... side panel? Did you get the
tempered glass?
Tempered glass? No,
just the regular side panel. But it does come in tempered glass.
Yes.
But we know we had to the regular side panel. But it is a good value case, and I liked it. I didn't really run into any major issues, so definitely check out that review. And I have one of the few that are out there is the ASIO MK Retro Pro.
Cool. Yeah, I remember this.
Which they showed us at CES. There's only a few out there because they're doing an Indiegogo right now.
Oh, they are?
For the product.
I don't know how I feel about this. This is a whole other subject altogether, and we don't necessarily need to get into it.
Yeah.
But established companies doing crowdfunding?
I mean, I wouldn't say ASIO's that established. I mean, they started in 2009.
Yeah, that's 8 years of...
Yeah.
Anyways...
But... this is a very... So we took a look at the MK Retro maybe last year. This was a retro-style keyboard with like sort of typewriter-style keys. It was cool. Really cool when it came out. But they really upped the ante with these new ones. They're like... I have a link. Well, we have it linked in the page. Just check it out. I mean, these...
Yeah.
There's three of them that they're coming out with. I have the Retro Classic Artisan, which has black leather as a kind of backdrop. And then it has gold around the edge and gold around the keys. And it's just awesome.
Yeah.
It just looks sweet. And I believe these have... I'm not sure what kind of key switches these have, but they feel much better than the old one.
It's a mechanical switch, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah,
I
thought it was. Yeah. I think they have them with and without.
I think probably
maybe
do.
Like a model, one model has it, one doesn't. It might not just be the ability to choose between the two, but I thought that they had talked about. Oh, yeah, mechanical. It's right in the Retro Classic Typewriter Backlit Mechanical Keyboard.
Yeah,
but ASIO did not have the board I reviewed. It was What are those? K starts with a K.
Kale.
Kale switches, yeah.
Yeah. But these are just, they just look so cool. And again, if you're like at an office, like some kind of office where you want to like be unique and cool, like this is the keyboard to get, especially like these new ones that have, that are just like, they just look so sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely check out that review. That should be up on Wednesday. And then finally, we have our first X299 motherboard review, which is the MSI X299 SLI Plus. It's X299, man. It has everything that you want.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, these are feature-packed boards. I have a thing running beside me right now, actually.
Nice.
And really, really cool stuff here. And we reviewed a lot of SLI Plus boards from MSI, so they're not their super high-end, but it's like, it gets you going and it gets you in the platform. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely a good board, and it has everything you want from the X299 platform. So definitely stay tuned for that review. And that is what we have going on next week. So at the end of each podcast, we talk about if we did anything cool or anything like that. Did you do anything this week?
I bought an Xbox One S.
Yes,
that was pretty lame.
Tell everybody why you needed to buy.
Yeah, I needed a UHD player, right? Because I like my physical media,
yes.
And I just like uncompressed audio and video. What can I say? So I got that because it's the same thing as a player, same quality, and it's the same price. So you might as well buy the Xbox, I guess.
Yeah, and you can have, like, I mean, I know, well,
you can actually do other stuff with it.
Yeah, like, you can do Netflix and all that kind of cool stuff, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so it's like getting a stream device included, you know. So, that's good. It was fine. I watched some stuff on it. I watched the new Fast and the Furious.
Nice.
It was Fast and Furious.
Yeah, Derek, we should post one of your pictures of your setup. So, Derek, we talked about him. I don't know if it was last podcast before. Yeah. Derek bought a new house, and he turned part of the basement into sort of like a screening room.
Yeah.
Because Derek is huge into movies. And how big is the screen that you have down there?
130-inch.
130-inch 1080p projector?
Yeah, but it does pixel shifting, and so it kind of gets you up towards 4K, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. It's not quite that 4K, but like it's pretty close, and the colors and the blacks are much better than I would have gotten at an entry level 4K projector.
Nice.
So
nice.
It was the smart choice, I suppose.
Yeah. So every time he posts, because we have this group chat, and every time he posts pictures of it, I get jealous because I'm like, I just need that. Just looks relaxing, and you know, because I have a 42-inch TV, and it's just I mean, I don't watch a lot of stuff either. You know what I mean? I think that's the thing with it, but yeah, I mean, just to have that nice, you know, relax, turn the lights
nice
down, and
honestly, and I really did the audio too really well, new receiver and stuff, and it's better than I thought it was gonna be. It's literally, the experience is, it's as good as going to the movies to me.
Nice.
So I didn't think I'd get to that level. I thought it would be nice, you know. I'll still go to the movies a lot. Now I'm like, I don't even want to go see the movie. I just want to wait for it to come out.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's nice being at home. You can pause the movie. You can go get food. You're not paying $22 for popcorn and a drink.
Yeah. I was trying to like qualify the purchases by saying that eventually it'll pay for itself. I don't know. Maybe it will.
Yeah. But there's that thing like when a new movie comes out, you want to watch, you want to go see it too. So
Yeah. Like I'm still going to go see Star Wars movies. I might go see Dunkirk actually. Because that's got amazing reviews, and I already wanted to see it. So
nice.
Yeah. How about you, Bob?
Didn't really do much.
No.
Worked. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I did anything. I mean, our X299 system is up, which it did that.
It's a fair bit of geeking out.
Yeah, just getting X299 stuff up and running, so it's like stable, and just have everything ready to go for benchmarks and stuff. That's actually what I'm doing right now. So I'm benchmarking everything.
Nice.
And, you know, just some, oh, just there's some things coming. It's just taking a little bit here. And I know I talk about trying to get some videos up. Like, I've shot so much video, I just have to put it all together for, like, a lot of products that have been reviewed, like, a month ago that I have video for. It's just doing all the audio, the voiceover and then intros and all that kind of stuff. But I'm really making a concerted effort to have, like, at least two videos a week on the channel, plus the podcast as well, because we put the podcast up on YouTube too.
Yeah,
it's just I'm getting there. It's getting there.
Yeah, no, that is what this is. It's the grind.
Yeah, so it's just and wanting to do them correctly and not just putting out some, you know what I mean, like wanting mm-hmm. to have a good something good out there. So probably next week you'll see video content, and then you'll see constant content after that come out, as long as I keep it up here. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing, just working on all that stuff. So as always, guys, we will have our full show notes page, so everything that we talked about, you can go ahead and click through and get even more information. And I'll actually put a picture of Derek's setup in the post as well, because I have one, so you guys can check that out as well.
Cool.
you can yell at him for having a better setup than you. So until next week, guys, we'll catch you later.